Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report. Of course, last night, some wonderful Sweet 16 action across the country, and Purdue really highlights things with Ryan Klein putting in 27 points, shooting it really well from outside as Purdue headed to the Elite Eight. Maybe a tough pill for some IU fans to swallow, I get that, but really good basketball last night, and I think that Purdue and Virginia, who obviously beat Oregon in the late game last night over in Louisville, I think that could be just a terrific Elite Eight game as well, with the winner, hard to believe, going to the Final Four of that game for next weekend. Wow, the tournament is moving right along. I think we've got a great slate of games tonight. Of course, Indiana missing from that slate, Indiana missing from the tournament, that would sure add a lot more buzz to our Fridays here in this area, I know, but still some really good March Madness and some really good action tonight. And I think that that action will continue throughout the weekend. Again, looking at the final in Louisville for the South Regional, looking at what could be the matchups in other regionals across the country. I think a really good Saturday and Sunday of basketball as well. I prefer Thursday and Friday of Sweet 16 weekend, just like I prefer Thursday and Friday of the opening weekend as well, strictly because you get more. You get more games, more options. You can flip around if one game ends up not being a close one or as close as you think it might be. So you get down beyond today, you really have, you know, just one-up games, basically. Not a lot of action to flip around to. But still, it's a great time of year. Great basketball, and it's just hard to believe that we're headed into the Final Four coming up here a week from tomorrow will be the national semifinal games. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for this Friday edition of the program. The guest lineup is presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, Hoosier Headlines, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll talk about some of last night's games in a little more detail, some transfers on the market with Hoosier State connections. I have no idea if Indiana would be interested in any of the players that have become available, but we'll talk about a few of those here in just a few moments. Also, Chris Wilkes, he a North Central product, considered Indiana down to the final minutes, but went to UCLA. He's declared for the NBA draft. We'll talk some about that. Segment two, we will be joined instead of Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, who host the Assembly Call IU postgame show every IU game this season. We had that for you here on the Big X. Jared is out today, so we'll be joined by one of his cohorts on the Assembly Call program. Brian Tonsoni will join us to talk some IU basketball today. And even though if you've listened to this show, not just throughout this season, but through the off seasons before as well, there's plenty to talk about from a basketball perspective, given the program, IU, given our location, given everything that goes on around here basketball-wise year-round. So we'll kind of begin to transition here. It's hard to believe the season is over from an IU perspective, but we'll try to begin to transition to a lot of off-season stuff, and we're going to be bombarded with stuff. I have a great feeling coming up here in the next couple weeks because the transfer market is crazy. That's something that we've already talked about some, and we'll talk more about today. Also, graduate transfers, that increases as far as the number of players taking that opportunity to get an additional year of basketball and make a change for their final year, their fifth year of college basketball, which is something kind of new, but it's really caught on and something we see happen more and more. Also, you know, you've got Romeo Langford and beginning to see, like, Chris Wilkes yesterday announcing that he will hire an NBA, go to the NBA draft, hire an agent, which means he is foregoing his eligibility, remaining eligibility at UCLA, which is not unexpected. So it's going to be interesting to see how Romeo handles this. Does he hire an agent? When does he make his announcement? How does he make his announcement? And then, of course, from that point forward, he'll be involved in a lot of NBA draft preparatory activities, which will be interesting to follow. I think that will be the path. I don't know for sure, but that is kind of what we all expect to happen at some point. But that's all going to be news to stay up with. That's going to be fun to follow as well. What happens with Juwan Morgan in this offseason? What type of professional basketball can he play? I don't know that he gets to the NBA. Does he go to the G League? Does he try to go overseas and make some money? And then, of course, the recruiting stuff. Indiana's 2019 class, there's still some open spots, we think, especially if Romeo does leave for professional basketball. Then you've got the underclass recruiting that heats up in the spring. Really, it's a month or so away from that as well. And then, of course, the big summer recruiting period, which is going to be a lot different this year, but still very, very interesting. So that just kind of to touch on some of the things that we have to talk about. None of it's as exciting as talking about a game that's going to take place tonight with Indiana involved, or talking about the team in the middle of their season. But obviously plenty to keep us busy from an IU perspective as well. Then we've got plenty of Southern Indiana headlines to get to each and every day year-round here on this program as well. Later in the program, after Brian Tonsoni of Assembly Call, we'll be joined by Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Kyle will join us to talk about some of those very same subjects that I just listed today in our program. That's the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. And let's start last night with Sweet 16 games. A number of teams last night with Indiana connections in those Sweet 16 contests, to be honest with you. I mean, we start with the Purdue game that was played just across the river in Louisville. Purdue goes on to win in overtime, 99-94. You want to talk about IU, or I should say Indiana connections. Ryan Klein, he played at Carmel, the nephew of Jim Shannon, the New Albany coach. We've mentioned that before on this program. He was 10 of 13 from the field, 7 of 10 from the three-point line. He had 27 points and was really the trigger that down the stretch before he fouled out, that is, kept Purdue in the game when Tennessee was charging back. Of course, Purdue led early by 18 points, thanks in part to not just good shooting by Klein, but good shooting really from across the entire roster. Of course, Carson Edwards got off to a good start as well. He went on to finish with 29 points last night for Purdue. But I think you got to stop and think from an IU perspective, from a Big Ten Conference perspective, are you surprised that Purdue is headed to the Elite Eight? Are you surprised that Purdue and Virginia will hook up for a berth in the Final Four? This is a Purdue team that people thought wouldn't be bad this year, but a Purdue team that was projected, if you go back and look at a lot of the early season or the preseason guesses out there, a listing of the different, you know, college basketball magazines and different media outlets and different college basketball guys that are out there, a lot of people had Purdue about middle of the conference, maybe just a smidge higher, but about middle of the conference is where a lot of people thought this Purdue team would finish the Big Ten. And obviously they went on to share the conference championship, the regular season championship with Michigan State, and they've had great success in the NCAA tournament. And I know Ryan Klein had a great shooting night last night, and he obviously is a terrific shooter. There's no question about that. But if you look at Purdue as a whole, the last couple games in the tournament, even though they've won, they really, across the board, have not shot it great. So a bounce-back shooting performance last night couldn't happen at a better time for the Boilermakers. They go on to win by 5 points, and again, we'll match up with Virginia, who has another State of Indiana connection on that program, and Kyle Guy, who is Mr. Basketball. He had 10 points last night, 4 of 15 shooting, 2 of 11. He shot a lot of threes last night, so not connecting on a lot of his shots, but still reaching double figures. He had four rebounds as well, logged 39 minutes. That tells you he, even in a bad shooting night, when he does reach 10 points and probably could have got a lot more if some of those shots would have fallen, he still logs a lot of minutes. I think that tells you how important he is across the board for the Virginia team, some of the things that he does maybe outside of scoring, his IQ, his passing, other things he does to really help that Virginia team. But Kyle Guy, another IU guy, I keep saying IU, another state of Indiana guy, another Hoosier State connection, as I like to call him, that's in the Elite Eight, of course, you know, playing with Virginia. Other games last night, no real surprise, Gonzaga and Florida State, the Zags headed to the Elite Eight. I think that's the third time in 5 years Gonzaga has reached the Elite Eight in the tournament. That's really amazing, given their location, given their program, given the conference they play in, that where that program is at consistently, not just for a year or a couple years, but where Mark Few has that program consistently. They're headed to the Elite Eight. And I guess the surprise of the night for me was 3-seed Texas Tech knocking out, and I mean that literally, knocking out 2-seed Michigan. 63-44 was the final score in that game. No Indiana connections in that contest really to speak of, but I did not see Texas Tech hammering Michigan in the way that they did in a Sweet 16 matchup. No question about that. Texas Tech headed to the Elite Eight as well. Good slate of games tonight. A quick rundown of those games. And I'm going to talk some about those later in the program with our guest as well. But 3-seeded LSU takes on number 2-seed Michigan State of the Big Ten Conference. We'll see if the Big Ten can put a second team in the Elite Eight with Michigan State and LSU tonight. That should be a great game. I think North Carolina, 1-seed, taking on 5-seeded Auburn. That should be a great game as well. Duke and Virginia Tech, 1-seed, 4-seed. Obviously, they played in the regular season a couple times in the ACC Conference. That could be a good game if you look at some of their prior results. And then I think a really tough game for Kentucky tonight. I'm not so sure that Kentucky won't win, but Kelvin Sampson, former IU coach, has the number 3-seed Houston taking on 2-seed Kentucky tonight in Kansas City at the Sprint Center. That is a really big game for the Wildcats. I think a really tough game. Again, in my bracket, which is go opposite of what I say, I've got Kentucky winning that game, but I think Houston's going to be a really – and I feel like most people, Kentucky fans, everybody agrees that Houston's going to be a tough out for this Kentucky team. So I'm looking forward to wrapping up the evening of Sweet 16 basketball for day two with that late tip-off. It's a 9:59 tip-off, the final game of four games that will be played today in the Sweet 16. A couple other notes to pass along. A lot of guys entering the NCAA transfer portal. I've kind of mentioned the number of players. It seems like if you follow Evan Daniels or other college basketball guys, that every hour or less they're tweeting out a report, a source, something about someone at the high level Division I, mid-major Division I, leaving their program, going to transfer. A couple notable names from the state of Indiana. Joey Brunk, who you'll probably remember from that really good Southport team that Romeo and New Albany knocked out in the semi-state round at Richmond. He is leaving Butler after 3 years, and I believe he's going to be classified as a graduate transfer. He's a graduate of the Butler College of Education, but would have 2 years left of eligibility, one of his four-year eligibility, one of a graduate year as well. So does Indiana look at a big man like him that's got Indiana connections? I have no idea. Another name out there as well, just played in the state championship game. Jalen Windham has been released from his letter of intent at Georgia State. He averaged almost 18 points a game for Ben Davis. Does he go to Tulane with coach that and his name escapes me, I apologize, but that is an Indianapolis guy that I can't believe I can't remember his name. I've seen him for years, that went to Georgia State and now is at Tulane. Does he maybe go there? But it's interesting when a guy that has Indiana connections, Indiana high school connections, becomes available later in their career. Sometime coming home or taking a closer path or maybe getting a little higher offer than what they got initially, it just works out at late scenarios like this. So those are two names that no matter where they land up, they have opportunities to have good college careers still if they land, I think, at the right spot. And it's always interesting when guys, again, from our state readjust things and maybe go another direction for whatever reason. Also, mention this, North Central graduate Indianapolis, Chris Wilkes. He's a sophomore at UCLA, announced yesterday he's headed to the NBA in the draft. He will hire an agent, so he will not return to UCLA next year. Fully expect him, it looks like, to get drafted this season. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and live bands on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Ron Hunter is the name that I could not remember, the former IUPUI coach who is at Georgia State and then just recently left Georgia State to take the Tulane job. He's had great success at all of those programs he's been at as far as getting them to the NCAA tournament. Of course, his son was a great player for him at Georgia State as well. But that's a look at the headlines today. We'll be back with Brian Tonsoni of Assembly Call to talk some IU basketball. Still ahead also, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star coming your way next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Instead of Jared Morris of the Assembly Call today, we're joined by one of his co-hosts, a voice you probably have heard if you listen to the Assembly Call IU postgame show, which is live right here on the Big X Sports Radio after all IU basketball games. Brian Tonsoni is our guest, and he joins us today to talk a little IU basketball. But Brian, I want to first welcome you to the program and maybe talk some about the Sweet 16 games last night. Purdue and Ryan Klein and Indiana Boy shooting it really well, and the Boilermakers are in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, that was quite a game. First of all, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate being able to talk basketball. But the name of the game in basketball is shooting, and as we talk Indiana basketball, we'll talk about the need for shooting. And when you watch the games in the NCAA tournament, the teams need to play defense, but it helps to have a guy like Klein who can get on fire and hit some threes and carry a team offensively. I thought the Purdue game was an incredible game. Thought there were a couple other good games. And you look at the other Big Ten team, Michigan, they struggled offensively, and they struggled to shoot the basketball. So the NCAA tournament will show you kind of what needs to be done in college basketball, let alone for our Indiana Hoosiers.
Absolutely. We're talking with Brian Tonsoni of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Let me ask you a little bit more about Purdue, and not necessarily about last night's game, but more so from the IU-Purdue rivalry. You know, I really enjoyed watching Ryan Klein have a great performance last night. Now, he is the nephew of Jim Shannon, the coach at New Albany here in Southern Indiana, so, you know, there's some personal connections there, but I get a sense, talking to people, that, you know, people pull for Big Ten teams or people pull for local teams nowadays, and I'm not sure that that's something that back when I was a kid or back in the, the golden days, maybe you could say, of college basketball and the Bob Knight days, I'm not sure that that is something that would have happened to see an IU fan or see even a fan of another team pull for another team in the conference. It almost would be the feeling this morning is, oh, my God, the rivals in the Elite Eight, that's terrible. You know, they might get a recruiting advantage on us. Oh, my God, they might win one more and go to the Final Four. I guess my question here, Brian, is what is your general take on the state of the IU-Purdue rivalry? Is it as bitter? Is it as big as it once was? And also, what's your take on pulling for other local teams or other conference teams in the NCAA tournament if Indiana doesn't make it or when Indiana is eliminated?
You know, that's a good question. I'm quite a bit older. I graduated from Indiana in 1989, so I'm part of that old rivalry where it was really strong and bitter, and you don't like to see the Purdues of the world do very well. And I know that changes over time. You know, there's nothing wrong with rooting for conference teams and a team like Purdue. I teach and coach up here near Purdue University and have had the ability to go see some games through a school club, and they do things right from the basketball standpoint to the basketball facilities and allowing our students to come in and witness some of what they do. So that's lessened some of my dislike for Purdue University as an Indiana alum, because I do appreciate what Matt Painter does, and I think there's a recipe there for getting old and staying old and having a system in place with a coach in place for several years of playing good defense, running good motion offense, and so it's kind of hard not to appreciate Purdue basketball, even if you're an old guy like me and don't want them to win. And I don't feel bad about that. I respect them. I think they're a great program, but I will root against them personally. That's just the way I've been brought up. And at 52 years of age, it's kind of hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Brian Tonsoni of Assembly Call is my guest. We're talking IU basketball. We'll get into some IU stuff, but we're starting off with the Sweet 16 games with Brian here in our conversation. Let me ask you, Matt Painter was actually my next bullet point for you. Your thoughts on, obviously he's done a great job. I mean, there's no question. I don't think that's even up for discussion, but your thoughts on the job he has done at Purdue and how he's done it. Really impressive what he's done. I mean, you look at this Purdue team, and I think they were projected to be, you know, pretty middle of the road for Purdue and maybe in the Big Ten Conference this year. And now, instead of talking about an okay season for Purdue, we're talking about one where they're at minimum going to be an Elite Eight team.
Yeah, I've been involved in high school basketball coaching for over 25 years. I actually got my start with Jim Shannon when he was at Lebanon before he moved to New Albany. So I'm a big Jim Shannon fan. And so you can't help but watch basketball from a coaching perspective, which is a little bit different than a fan perspective. And I tell you, Matt Painter has done a great job this year getting to the Elite Eight, but he's done a great job over the years of establishing a program. And it is a surprise to me with the number of graduates that he had last year, and you thought that they would be middle of the road, make the tournament. But, boy, to win a Big Ten championship, and the best thing, Matt, from my vantage point is he is really good at analyzing what players can do and what they can do to help Purdue win, and then matching them together either in a starting rotation or in a substitute pattern. A kid like Wheeler comes in and just feels comfortable enough to hit a couple of threes. The big center, Travion Williams, hadn't played early but developed him in as a freshman. I think Painter does a really good job of figuring out what individual people in his program can do that can help Purdue win. And that is the thing that I think should be copied by many coaches across the country.
All right, before we get to some IU stuff, Brian, I want to get your thoughts on tonight's games as well. Down our way, obviously Louisville, Kentucky, very much a part of the audience as well. And I think Kelvin Sampson and his Houston club will be a very tough matchup tonight for UK in that late game.
Yeah, and P.J. Washington's going to be the big question mark if he can go and what he can provide. Obviously, Kentucky's better when he plays. And I think if he was playing at his normal production, I think Kentucky easily is better than Houston. But Houston is scrappy, and I know Kelvin Sampson is kind of not a good topic in our area, but I think he can coach, and I think that they're going to be really hungry. And I think that game's going to come down to the wire.
Talking with Brian Tonsoni of Assembly Call in place of Jared Morris, who is normally with us Fridays in this segment here on the Hoosier Report. Brian, you're a new voice, I guess, to our program, although I know you cover and follow IU basketball very, very closely throughout the season and have some great basketball knowledge to go along with that. So I guess I'll ask a real general question here kind of to start our conversation about IU. What's your summary, your take on the year? And part two to that question to let you go is what is the chief change, the big off-season thing that this program needs to focus on, at least with the guys that are returning and the guys that are coming in, to make sure they don't miss the NCAA tournament for a fourth year, to make sure that they don't have just a terrible slide the way this team did in the second half of the season that just really was crushing to everything about the team. What your thoughts on both of those?
I think the number one thing from my vantage point and over the years is to try to establish an identity of what Indiana basketball is. And I think that since Knight has left, that has been up and down in style of play, in recruiting, and it has not been consistent. And hopefully we see Archie, given some time, will develop a style of play that Indiana basketball fans are used to seeing, and that is good, solid defense with some good offense, getting to the tournament, getting to Sweet 16. That needs to happen. I do think that, Matt, that takes time. I'm very careful of throwing a lot of shade on coaches or players because I know how hard people work at it. But I think it was more of a rebuild than really people thought with the new coaching situation and the roster construction. And on the last postgame show of Assembly Call, I mentioned roster construction over and over and over again. And it takes a coach some time to recruit classes to get the type of players that he wants in his program to be able to play the way that a head coach wants to play. And fans are not they're not that patient. So that's what I think. I think Archie needs to get his program the way he needs it and the way Indiana basketball needs it, and I think we're on that path because the defensive numbers are getting better. The second part of your question is we need playmakers and we need shooters. Ryan Klein hitting those threes and Carson Edwards, that is a threat that makes Purdue so much better. Grady Eifert able to hit a three from the four spot. You look at Purdue and even our Michigan, Teske can hit a three from the five spot. That's just the name of the game. And I think if I had a chance to suggest, and I'm not in the program and I don't see practice and all that stuff, so you got to be careful making too many judgments from afar. But this team needs to stretch the floor offensively and be able to go to the post a little bit easier. I think that's part of Romeo's difficulty is that they had two or three people catching him in the lane where he does his best work all year because of the lack of outside threats. And so the one thing I think in the offseason is can we find some freshmen to come in? Is the graduate transfer, is there a shooter that can come in and stretch the floor? And then just general overall toughness and competitiveness. And again, I appreciate all the young men who play for Indiana. I think there are a few that that need to be a little tougher and compete harder. And when you watch the teams that are playing in the NCAA, I think you see that toughness. You don't have slow starts. You don't have four or five games where you don't really play as well as you should play. And being fair, I'm not going to mention names, but that rests on the players sometimes. A coach can do only so much to get people ready to play. So I hope that answered your question. I think the basketball thing is shooting. Number one, and then it's just getting the right guys in to do the right things to be Indiana basketball again.
Brian, you mentioned not judging things with too much detail or too many guesses from afar, which I think is a great reminder for all of us at some point to do this sort of thing. But along those lines, you mentioned transfers, graduate transfers. I have no insight, and I don't think you do either, as far as who could depart the program outside of some of the obvious things, the seniors and possibly Romeo Langford for the NBA. But in the world of college basketball today, and this has kind of been a topic the last few days, the number of graduate transfers and the number of underclassmen even that have announced their transfer, if you follow guys like Evan Daniels and Jeff Goodman and some of the national writers out there, it's like an hour or less you're getting one or two transfers announced that, hey, I'm leaving this program. I saw multiple Big Ten teams here in the last couple of days have had players announce that they are going to transfer. Not that I want to get into guessing who could maybe leave Indiana, but I guess my question here, or what I'd like you to your thoughts on, are transfers are such a big thing now in college basketball. I mean, even Evan Fitzner coming in as a graduate transfer to Indiana this year, you just kind of expect some sort of movement in the offseason, whether that's a player going, a player coming, or both, or maybe more than one or two going and coming. Would you not expect Indiana at some point probably to get involved with a potential transfer or a graduate transfer coming into the program for next season?
Yeah, I do. I think in this day and age, players like to play. And if you're deep on the list and you don't as a player feel that in a year or two you're going to be able to work your way into some sort of playing rotation? I think that's why you see a lot more transfers happening, you know, with the AAU and high school and all of that. I think players like to play, and when you have 13 scholarships, there's just no way you're going to have a 13-man rotation. And some of the bigger schools, if you see, they really have they don't have that 13th man necessarily be a high recruit, and they just go with 8 or 9 guys, and they don't have as many transfers. But I do think that with any coaching change, the people who were from the previous coach might stay, might want to see what the new coaching staff is, and no blame on the coaching staff or on the player. That might just be a difference of opinion on how you were sold as a recruit to come in by one guy, and now another guy is coaching. And so I think that's natural, and I think that outside of, you know, Romeo's decision, which we all think that Romeo's going to take a jump to the NBA, and deservedly, the young man had a solid year. That opens up one more scholarship, but I do think that you'll see possibly some movement, and whatever that is, and this is how I handle it. I hope the young man and the family, if it is a transfer out, does so for the best interest, and I wish them the best of luck in their new spot. And I do think that the graduate transfer does help a program like Indiana to get someone in for a year. That can help move the program in the right direction, maybe a shooter. And then that scholarship opens up the next year where you can then get to the old saying that I know Jared has said in the past, and a lot of people said, get old and stay old. So where your juniors and seniors are teaching your freshmen and sophomore, and then you can sprinkle in maybe a one and done here and there. But once that's built, then I think you're going to see some consistency out of Indiana basketball.
Thoughts on the 2019 class? Obviously, Trace Jackson Davis, we just saw him in the McDonald's All-American game the other night. Armand Franklin, I thought, had a terrific season for Indianapolis Cathedral, really enhancing his game and stepping it to another level this year in his senior year. So we know those guys pretty well being in-state guys, and it sure sounds like there's maybe some momentum that didn't exist with Trendon Watford now that there have been some coaching or other situations at schools that maybe have been thought to kind of be front runners for him, but some other names popping up as well late in this 2019 recruiting time, which I guess we'll find out more here later this spring for sure on that. But your thoughts on maybe what Indiana will do or could do with open scholarships and some of the needs and things like that?
Yeah, there's two thoughts, and I'm not the recruiting genius, but I know they're recruiting, I think, a Beverly kid, and I'm not sure where he's from, but you're going to see some guards. I think you're going to see at least, and again, depending on the number of scholarships that come open with movement, but we're basically assuming there's one more. I think the need is shooting. The number one need is shooting. You know, the numbers in the post are there with Duran coming back and Thompson and Forster and more. If that stays the way it is, you have, you know, some guys there with the incoming freshmen that have already signed. So that'll be 5 post players, 4 and 5 spots. So I'm not sure you'll see another big. But again, it depends on, you know, movement. If a big happens to leave or a wing happens to leave, I think you'll see that. I look at recruiting this way. I watch Archie and his staff and who they're going after to see what they need and what they're thinking their weaknesses are coming up. And I think that's why Fitzner ended up here, is because they weren't sure of the depth and Duran's injury in the post, and they needed a shooter, and so they took a flyer on Fitzner being a stretch 4, and whether that worked out or not is up to all the fans to listen to. But when you watch a coaching staff and who they're going after, I think that'll tell a lot. And right now I think it's guard heavy, shooting heavy.
Brian Tonsoni, our guest of the Assembly Call. I want to leave or end our conversation with this. I think according to your Twitter account, you recently were in Bloomington for a baseball game. Tell us a little bit about IU baseball, your thoughts on them for the season and this early part of the year. Of course, there's a number of connections down to the southern part of the state on the IU roster this season.
Yeah, I tell you what, for any basketball fans that are looking for something to do now that the season's over, Indiana baseball is a fantastic watch. And Bart Kaufman Field is a great place to go and watch a game. And as the Big Ten weekends come, I highly suggest that they go and play. They lost a tough one in the midweek to Kent State, the game that I was at. They had some errors. I think if you talk baseball right now, the pitching staff's doing rather well. Paulie Milto on Friday night is just lights out. The offense is solid. They got some guys, Matt Lloyd and Gorski, who leads off in left field, number eight outfielder, according to D1 Baseball. So they're hitting home runs all over the place this year. They've changed their approach at the plate. If they can play some defense, I think you're going to see Indiana back in the tournament. They're 15-8 right now, 3-0 in the Big Ten. And I think Coach Mercer in his first year at Indiana is doing a good job. They've upped the schedule and played a really tough schedule. So it's highly enjoyable. I'm 2 hours away from Bloomington to the north, and I have season tickets to Indiana baseball. And I can't say enough about what that program has done in the last 5 years. So I think they're headed in a good direction, and they'll be one of the best teams in the Big Ten.
Awesome. Brian Tonsoni, Assembly Call. Brian, really enjoyed our chat today, and hope that we have you back really soon.
I appreciate it, Matt. Anytime you need.
Absolutely. Brian Tonsoni filling in today for Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. But we'll wrap up this segment. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Friday program. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star is my guest. And Kyle, I always start to fret a little bit when the state championships are here and over with. And, of course, we're getting deeper and deeper into the NCAA tournament with each day that passes, that, you know, basketball is going to come to an end. And what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? What am I going to watch? And then I remind myself of all the great postseason stuff that's out there. Just from a high school perspective, we've got the top 60 workout on Sunday. You've got the North-South game coming up. Of course, the Indiana-Kentucky series takes place in the offseason. The travel ball scene kicks off really soon from a recruiting perspective with an open weekend coming up in April for Division I coaches to get on the road. So plenty of things to talk about. In addition to all of that, lots of transfers going to happen at the college level, which seems to increase every year, and just a ton of things going on. So basketball in Indiana and in Southern Indiana specifically never sleeps.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It's, you know, like you mentioned, the top 60s on Sunday, and looking forward to getting out and seeing that. And there's always a player or two or multiple who, you know, maybe you haven't seen during the season a lot who stands out and makes a splash. And, you know, you saw that Eugene German a few years ago when he had a great top 60, ended up making the Indiana All-Star team, not totally based off that, but you know, largely. And, you know, so there's guys like that I'm curious to see. And, you know, some of the top guys won't be there. Some will, some won't. They're out of town or whatever for spring break. Some schools are on spring break. But, you know, that should be a good event. And like you said, I mean, there's always – you know, people ask a lot, you know, what do you do when the high school season ends in basketball? And it's like, well, I don't even think about it. there's always so much stuff to cover. And there's other sports as well that we kind of dip our toe into and do some stuff on and find good stories on in the spring. But it really is basketball season kind of continues on into the spring and summer. And as you mentioned, the transfer season kind of starts now too. And there's a few guys locally who we'll be monitoring and keeping track of that are really interesting case studies on what's going to happen to them. So, yeah, it never really does end. Even though the games are over and the state finals are really good, it doesn't end on that state final Saturday either.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, my guest. A lot of talk about transfers and graduate transfers. I just talked in the last segment some about it as well on today's show.
two that stand out in Indiana right now, Joey Brunk, of course, who's still a familiar name to a lot of people from his career at Southport, leaving Butler. He has 2 years left as a graduate transfer. And then a player we just saw Saturday night in the state final, the 4A game, Jalen Windham of Ben Davis. Kind of to use both of those guys as examples, what level could they go to? And I know Windham is just finishing his high school career. It's a little different situation. His coach left, so therefore he was able to get a release from his letter of intent. But are either of those guys that Indiana would find useful in any way, or what do you see could be potential homes, or I guess the level maybe of the potential homes for those guys when they make their next decision on where they'll go for college?
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting. I think in Jalen Windham's case, the question will be, does he just want to follow Ron Hunter, who he committed to at Georgia State? You know, what's his interest level in Tulane? And that's, you know, I think that'll yet to be seen still. But, you know, Jalen Windham is a player who, you know, he can really score. He can really shoot. Even 2 years ago, he was on that state championship with Ben Davis, and he was the leading scorer in the state finals that year. You know, and he was more one-dimensional now, back then than he is now. I think he can do a lot more things now. I think at the next level, if he was to go to that level of Big Ten or, you know, a parallel type of conference, he probably would be more of a shooter. And I would say the same thing for Jake LaRavia, who from Lawrence Central, who he's in the same situation as Jalen Windham, where his coach, he was committed to Southern Illinois Edwardsville, had signed a letter of intent. His coach there was fired at the end of the season, and things have opened back up for him. And I know in his case, Purdue has reached out and shown interest. Missouri is going to come in to watch him. Indiana State has actually already offered, and he's going to go there for an official visit. And I think if the Missouri Valley Conference, you know, for either of those guys, they would be really impact type of players. But, you know, if you're talking about Big Ten, IU, you know, Purdue, that type of level, probably a little bit more one-dimensional type player, you know. But I do think both those guys have shown they're athletic enough to, I think, play at that level. You know, whether or not they would do that, you know, right off the bat or not, I don't know. But I do think there's, you know, because they are bigger shooters, you know, LaRavia's 6'8", and he, you know, really, he's only 17. He won't be 18 until November. So he's really a really young senior because he started his early years of elementary out in California and just started school early and has always stayed that class. So that's kind of unusual with him, and probably the reason why you saw such a big jump in his productivity from junior to senior year. So I think Windham still, it's a little bit early in the process. I think he's going to, just on Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, he officially decided to open it up again, got his release. And he, of course, he's just coming off the state championship game, you know, 6 days ago. So all this is happening really fast for him. But I do think there's going to be, in both cases, I think Power Five, you know, conferences will be after those guys. And then it's just a matter of them, because you are in this situation this time of year where if you're still uncommitted or unsigned in the spring, your value goes higher probably than what you even are as a player. So it's definitely the ball is in their court, so to speak, because they're going to have a lot of options that maybe they wouldn't have had back in the fall. So, and in Joey Brunk's case, I do think there will be interest from Indiana. I do think that is a possibility. You know, Joey's obviously, he's shown he can play at the Butler at the Big East level. Had a good year. You know, wasn't like he was all conference or anything, but he shows he can be a productive player. And I think there will be some interest there on that end of things. But again, he's got 2 years to play, and he's more of probably a proven commodity just because he's a little bit older than the guys who are just coming out of high school.
And Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, is with us. We've got, and I've talked some about this already, but we've got to spend some time talking, because you follow these guys very closely, but we've got to spend some time talking about some guys that have connections, great connections to our state, that are doing well in the NCAA tournament. I tell you, Ryan Klein last night in Louisville, that performance, just outstanding. That's one of those March performances that you won't forget, as he leads Purdue, really wills Purdue, when Tennessee was charging back and threatening to take over the game even, wills Purdue to an Elite Eight appearance, and just unbelievable shooting from him, just unreal.
Oh yeah, unreal. I was sitting at home watching that, and I don't necessarily cheer for teams or whatever, but in-state guys, and of course you want to see Purdue being an in-state team, make a run, and just unreal how he was making those shots late in the game, and it was almost like he wouldn't let it be over, and he just found that within himself, and he had a pretty poor shooting game earlier in the tournament. I think he's 1 for 11 or something like that from three against Old Dominion. But when they had to have him, man, he was absolutely awesome last night. Career high in points for him, and so you root for guys that you know and you've covered, and he was just played sensational. Unfortunately fouled out late in that game and had to watch the rest of it from the bench. But they were able to pull it out, and he's got a good story, and I think he's a guy that has kind of become, Carson Edwards is their leader, obviously, but Klein's right there, and man, he was clutch last night, and that was so fun to watch. And some of those shots he's making is like, how in the world, was he getting those to go in? But we all know what kind of shooter he is, but to do it on that stage is just obviously a whole another level.
And now we get to see Ryan Klein and Purdue match up with Kyle Guy, former Indiana Mr. Basketball, and Virginia, mm-hmm. right here in our area, Louisville across the river on Saturday night. A game, by the way, that we'll have here live on the Big X Sports Radio. I think it's like an 8:49 tip-off, so we'll have pregame an hour before that. But that, I think, with how Purdue is playing and if they continue to shoot the ball the way that they are, and, of course, Virginia always solid, That could be just a thriller, and the winner of that game going to the Final Four, and the winner of that game, no matter what, is going to have some great Indiana connection on it one way or the other.
Yeah, and those guys used to play with each other on Indiana Elite, and so they know each other. Kyle is a 2016, and Ryan Klein's 2015, so they're a year apart, but Kyle played up throughout his AAU career, so... That's interesting in itself, and that's going to be to see how Purdue fares against that defense will be really interesting, I think. But I think Purdue actually matches up fairly well with Virginia. I really think this could be the year Purdue's able to get in the Final Four. But like you said, if not, we'll still have a good storyline with Kyle Guy if they can make it through. And some of the stuff, Kyle was playing varsity ball as a freshman at Lawrence Central, and just always had that swagger about him. And even if he's not making shots, which has happened at various points in this tournament, some of the plays he makes as a passer and as a playmaker, just some of the stuff he sees on the court is just really incredible. And it's been fun to watch him from, he couldn't have weighed more than 135 pounds when he was a freshman in high school, but he always had that. He always had that swagger about him and supreme confidence. And I know Greg Doyle did a really nice story about his anxiety issues that he has. And you'd never know that, having watch him play on the court. He always seems so confident, and he's just such a good player, obviously with what he's done throughout his career. But two really good stories. And I always feel lucky having to cover guys like that in high school, kind of before everyone finds out about them on a bigger stage, but it's fun to sit back and watch them now and see what they're doing.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, my guest. I know we'll have time as the off season is now here to talk more in detail about this and, of course, cover the events and talk about some of the storylines that come up through this. But recruiting is kind of a big deal now. In the spring, the AAU circuits and CHU circuits begin. There's one live weekend for coaches in April to get out and watch players for the Division I schools, that is. And then, of course, in June, it's going to be a lot different. Two weekends periods for college coaches at the D1 level to get out and watch high school stuff, which is going to be interesting to see how all that works in year one, and then just one weekend in July as opposed to, I think, three in the past, the D1 coaches can go to like the CHU stuff or the AAU stuff, and then some new NCAA regional camps will kind of replace some of that other activity in July. The coaches will be able to attend that. Going to be really interesting, and again, I know we can talk more in detail about this when we have more time, but going to be interesting to see how this new program for coaches and dates they're able to get out, high school events being something they can now go to, certain high school events, that is, and these new NCAA camps. Just another model, another big change to the recruiting landscape, which is kind of the period that we're headed into to talk about.
Yeah, I've kind of been on the periphery, as this high school season was still going on. I haven't delved. I want to dive more into that, I guess is what I'm saying, because it's going to be a big difference, and maybe the average fan doesn't care or doesn't know much about it. But I think they would care, though, if you kind of laid it out how this will be different than it has been in the past. And I know the high school state associations are more involved now and have to be with this June process. And like you said, the two evaluation weekends now in June. I don't know if it's necessarily this is going to be the best thing moving forward. I haven't decided yet or don't know enough, I guess, just from what I've read to know where this is headed. I know there's some states that have no interest in doing this. And is that going to be good for the kids in those states? I would think not. They're not going to get a chance to be seen as much. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think it's probably, if it doesn't work, it'll probably go back in some way to what it used to be. Maybe not all the way, but maybe somewhat. But they're obviously trying to take some of the shoe company influence away, and we'll see how that works in the long run. But yeah, I think it's going to be a lot different, and I think it'll be worth looking into that, as we get further into the spring here.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thanks for the chat today.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, Matt.
That's going to wrap things up for this Friday edition of the program. Don't forget, Sweet 16 basketball continues tonight. Great matchups, and then, of course, we will have the Virginia-Purdue game for you on Saturday. That game, of course, taking place in Louisville on Saturday night, and that is an 8:49 tip-off, which means we'll be on about an hour before that with the play-by-play story of the Boilermakers in the Elite Eight. Have a great weekend. I'm back with you Monday on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.